First, we're off to all matters of defence and security. And on Thursday, the Taoiseach attended a European Council meeting where EU leaders discussed their plan to rearm Europe, which is now being retitled to Readiness 2030. The plan could see up to €800 billion invested in military hardware in the European Union, with Ireland contributing up to a potential €1 billion in non-lethal military equipment. This is all under the backdrop of the threat of Russia extending its war further into Europe, despite talks continuing between the US and Russia this weekend aimed at agreeing a ceasefire. Meanwhile, the government here has announced the introduction of a suite of defence measures, including a new National Security Council and a National Maritime Security Strategy. Minister Charlie McConlogue, if I can go to you first, we know those talks are continuing between US and Russia and Saudi Arabia this weekend, with President Zelensky of Ukraine on standby nearby to engage. But given all of those talks and what we see this weekend in terms of those headline numbers of $800 billion potentially to be invested between now and 2030, does that suggest to you that European leaders do not believe that a peace deal can be done, a long-lasting ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia, that that is just not possible?
Well, obviously, it's a very challenging situation, but it's absolutely key that we do get a peace agreement. I think it is certainly possible, but it's really important that peace agreement actually looks like, and that it's one that can be sustainable, and that it also recognises that Ukraine was the country whose sovereignty was invaded here, and that must be recognised in terms of the outcome. Ireland, working within the EU, are very supportive of the peace processes underway. We hope that the engagement that's happening this weekend will bring about some progress, but certainly what we've seen in the last few days with Russian strikes on Kyiv and other Ukrainian cities as well, that's certainly not consistent with the goal of actually seeking to achieve a ceasefire and seeking to achieve progress here. But ultimately, what we need to see is peace in Ukraine and a settlement which actually is sustainable and protects the country going forward and ensures that it can last long into the future too.
And in parallel to those efforts, we saw the European bloc's policy chief this week talk about a potential $40 billion being needed to increase the EU's military aid spending for Ukraine. And she went on to suggest that member states would need to contribute amounts relative to their economies so that donation amounts are equal. And we've seen speculation that that could mean for Ireland something up to $1 billion in non-lethal military equipment. Does that figure feel right to you? Is that the direction of travel here for Ireland if it's going to play its part in supporting Ukraine?
Well, Ireland has been has stepped up and has supported Ukraine both in terms of providing refuge for people who've been fleeing war, but also playing its part within the EU as well in terms of providing aid as well in a non-military capacity to the Ukraine. Obviously, the last number of months, and particularly since President Trump took office, we've seen a change in the international context. We've seen a change as well in relation to the international military support for Ukraine. And also that's led as well to a reassessment within the EU in terms of the long-term defence capacity of the region and of the established order which had, in terms of the role the US had been playing over recent years too. And we have to recognise that those Eastern European countries particularly, which are bordering Russia, feel very, very threatened, and understandably so. The need for it to be in a position from an EU point of view, and for those countries in particular, to be able to defend themselves. And while we as a country in Ireland are militarily neutral and we will stay that way, it's important we also understand the position that they're in. And certainly in the context of the wider European response, Ireland will continue to look to be constructive in terms of how we interact and in terms of how we support Ukraine as well. Okay. In a non-military way.
Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, you'll have seen this kind of rebranding exercise this week, what was about rearming Europe now being called Readiness 2030, and seeing that the Taoiseach, broadly support the EU's moves, towards investing in more military hardware. Of course, for Ireland, we're talking about non-lethal military aid if that is required for Ukraine. What's been your response to it this week?
I find it interesting that the minister avoided answering the question around the percentage of GDP for military aid for Ukraine, because Fianna Fáil Falls MEPs in Europe have repeatedly voted in favour of amendments that calls for 0.25%.
And you think that it will equate to somewhere up in the region?
To be for military aid for Ukraine. So they have had no problem in supporting resolutions that had that content, but also actually voting in favour of those amendments specifically calling for 0.25%. We believe that absolutely Ireland's neutrality is undermined by Ursula von der Leyen's plans around the rearm of EU, but also this idea that member states should be, you know, obliged to pay a certain amount. We 100% want to support Ukraine non-militarily, to offer support to them, but this idea of having a set limit or a set percentage, I think, goes well beyond the competences of the EU and must be pushed back against.
Is there an acceptable figure to you, though? Like, given the state of the world as we see it now, is there an acceptable figure, though, to Sinn Féin to play its part in non-military investments?
Well, what I would like to see is the EU to put as much effort into the peace process, into trying to de-escalate the situation. I mean, if you have a peace negotiations, and of course Ukraine must be front and centre to those peace negotiations, but if you have that, and then on the other hand you have Ursula von der Leyen coming out and saying we must spend 800 billion euros at a time when we have housing crisis, health crisis, social poverty crisis, it doesn't send out the message that the EU is really serious about a peace process.
But we saw European leaders say that those who support Ukraine in this moment, and of course support a peace process, also have to put money where their mouths are. So there must be a figure you would accept would be appropriate as an Irish investment in non-military lethal equipment.
I think the all of the efforts need to be in de-escalating the situation. I mean, I met with women, Ukrainian women, who are living in Ireland 3 years now, only a couple of weeks ago. Their children were young teenagers. They're now facing the age of where they're looking at, they cannot go back to Ukraine because they don't want their sons to be sacrificed in this war. So what they're saying is they want peace. Absolutely, we want to see peace in Ukraine. And that's where the attention and focus should be. This rearm EU and all of this escalation, this is about a slush fund for the arms industry of the very large member states within the EU.
Pat O'Toobin, is there an acceptable, whatever the percentage is or the number is, that if people talk all the time about supporting Ukraine, there has to be a percentage of investment coming from Ireland when it comes to non-lethal military aid?
Well, I think the government have committed around 100 million euros so far, and I actually think that's probably around the number that we should be looking at. You know, I think there's a number of big things happening in the background here. First of all, we've seen the Germans look to get rid of the fiscal rules around investment in military expenditure, which is quite incredible because we've had a housing crisis here and we've been told that it is sacrosanct that fiscal rule would remain in place and nobody should ever transcend it. Second of all, we're moving the competency now for defence issues from the nation states, the capitals, to the EU. That's a significant move. And it's one that actually Ursula von der Leyen actually campaigned before the European elections fur. And we're also seeing a situation, I think, that the EU is now getting into a military bloc situation. They are blurring the lines between NATO. They even stated that when you purchase military hardware now, you must purchase it from the EU and will only purchase it from the US if the US joins a defence union with the EU. So here we are as an independent, you know, neutral state, finding ourselves, I believe, surrounded by in many ways EU hawks who are not missing a crisis, who are looking to federalise more in terms of the EU's development. And I think we need to have a proper debate around this. And I think when you actually speak to people on the ground, people are very clear. They value our neutrality and they want to see our neutrality.
Do you have concerns, ultimately? You're talking about a loss of autonomy here for Ireland.
Big style. Like, what you're seeing is the outsourcing of a really, really important competency from the democratic control of the Irish Parliament to the European Union. And actually, you know, Micheál Martin has said that he is willing to see treaty change, which would allow for decisions around military decisions being made with less input from Ireland. And of course, you know, the Taoiseach is looking to get rid of the triple-lock.
Okay, I'll let Minister Charlie McConlogue respond there.
Well, Patter talks a bit about hawks, but listen, we have to be clear here that the hawk we have seen here is Russia in terms of their invasion of Ukraine. And for the first time since the Second World War, we have seen a war on European land. And the reality is that without support from the EU and also support from the US in particular over the last 2 to 3 years, Ukraine would not have been able to withstand that invasion, and indeed would have been overrun by the Russian invasion without that support. This obviously is making those countries as well, in Eastern Europe in particular, feel very, very threatened in relation to what they have come to see. And they want to work together in relation to being able to support Ukraine, but also in terms of being able to protect themselves. From an Irish point of view, our effort is in relation to trying to work within the EU to secure peace, but one which recognises the sovereignty of Ukraine and indeed the aggression of Russia and can be lasting. And from the point of view of our role in that, it will be from a non-military capacity,
and
we'll continue to be that way. But we do have to recognise as well that in the absence of other countries having actually come together to support Ukraine from military capacity, then Ukraine would have been overrun at this stage. But we continue to play our role in a really proactive way and in a non-military way.
The minister needs to be very honest. He comes from a constituency that's one of the most disadvantaged constituencies that needs a lot of resources and funding to be put into it. And what the EU is calling for is that this 800 billion fund will come from cohesion policy funds. That's funds that goes into fishing communities. That's funds that goes into revitalising towns and centres, to the Just Transition Fund, to the poverty, anti-poverty and social exclusion. That's where they're looking to raid. That's the coffers they're looking to raid. And what the minister needs to tell the people of Donegal that he represents, which one of them does he want to see slashed? Which of those funds does he want to see decimated to basically fund French German arms industry?
But Patter earlier said the 100 million, and you'd look at maybe something similar again. You haven't given me an answer of what Sinn Féin would accept is an acceptable amount of money. Where it might come from is a different question.
What we're talking about is the 800 billion here that the EU is talking about spending on the arms industry. 800 billion euros at a time of a housing crisis, at a time when we have kids waiting on mental health facilities, you know, children on scoliosis, all of this money, and suddenly, and Patter is right in one sense saying, you know, that we weren't allowed to suspend the rules when it came to all of those other major issues that the countries have faced in the EU, and now all of a sudden we're able to suspend everything to fund the arms industry.
Patter,
at the end of the day, this is about the arms industry and also arms that are bought from Israel and arms companies that supply arms to Israel.
Patter, given the conversation here between yourselves, with the announcement this week of a National Security Council by the Taoiseach, do you think that has a role to play in terms of trying to find alignment on what an appropriate measure is externally with the rest of Europe, but internally in this country?
Well, I sometimes think that the government are operating in a parallel universe, because, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Father Ted, you know, is there anything to be said for another old committee here, Father? Do you know what I mean? We have a 0.2% spend in our GDP in our defence forces. We've treated them so poorly over the last 2 decades that the numbers have fallen to record lows. We're not even able to float more than one Navy ship at the moment. The government are talking about, like, setting up councils to beat the band in terms of strategy, and yet they won't do the simple things right. The simple thing is to invest in our own defence forces, pay the men and women who stand up for us proper wages, so that we can
employ
them.
What kind of figure would you like to see invested there?
Well, I think we should be moving to actually a 1% of GDP in the long term, because I'm staunchly in favour of neutrality, but if you're in favour of neutrality, you have to be able to pay for your own defences. You can't be neutral and then rely on somebody else to actually defend your country.
Minister Charlie McConnell, to bring you back in there, National Security Council, Patter basically thinks it's another talking shop that won't get to the heart of the issues required and investment in the defence forces.
No, I don't agree. I think it's a reflection of the changed reality and the changed prioritisation we have to give as well in relation to defence and security issues, and in particular as well, the importance of making sure we're investing in our own national defence. And Patter there is himself acknowledging that we should increase the defence and funding nationally. That's something we have been doing. But then internationally, and then internationally, I mean, using the proud tradition we have as a militarily neutral country, to use our offices within the EU and outside of that as well, to try to work to ensure that we do have sustainable peace and relationships internationally.
But it's
important, I think, for the opposition to be honest here too, because they can't have it every way. They can't say we shouldn't be having some spending.
An example of government expenditure in this. So before we suffered the cyber attack, we spent 5 million euros on the National Cybersecurity Centre. One department, the Department of the Taoiseach, that year spent 15 million euros on press statements. 3 times the amount were spent on press statements in one department than the whole of the National Cybersecurity Centre, which is now led to a 100 million euro cost, with 400 people taking cases against the state and possibly a billion euros of cost.
Okay.
That's how this government treats expenditure.
Minister, I'll let you respond to that, so that we have to broaden how we think about defence spending here. It's not just non-military aid. It has to broaden out to how we think about our cyber security and defence mechanisms there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we are investing more. And we have seen the impact and the challenges that are there now in relation to technological threats in particular, in relation to cyber safety. And that's why the government is, we do have a record level of expenditure at the moment, and it is something we're looking to continue and to increase over the next period of time to make sure that we can be kept safe as a country from those more modern
The previous
threats.
Government carried out a review of what was needed for the defence forces, and Sinn Féin's position is that we would get to the level 2 ambition in that review. The government's budget, the last budget, was below level 1 ambition. So, I mean, when they're talking about having these strategic security councils, they cannot even provide the personnel to crew a Navy ship at the moment. You know, so it is a case of resourcing our defence forces, implementing the working time directive, improving the pay and conditions of the personnel, because more defence forces personnel have left in the last 5 years than have joined. So that's where the focus should be. Fine, set up the security council, but at the end of the day, you need the naval ships to be crewed. You need the defence forces to have the personnel to do the job.
Okay.
And they are not investing at the level that's
point.
Required.
Minister, we opened by talking about the ceasefire talks going on this weekend between Ukraine, Russia. I do want to touch briefly on events in Gaza this week. And we saw the Taoiseach calling on Europe, you know, to stop Israel's incursions into Gaza. What do you believe is happening in the background this weekend, given that we saw Israel's defence minister just last night talking about its ground operation in Gaza going on with increasing intensity, as he said, until all of the hostages, both living and dead, are returned?
Yeah, well, listen, we've seen and witnessed appalling scenes again in Gaza this week. And Ireland has very much condemned the resumed Israeli airstrikes and the new ground operation that we've seen, and indeed the unbelievable suffering that has brought to the people of Gaza again as a result of that breach of the ceasefire. What we need to see is the ceasefire put back in place again, and also for the hostages as well to be returned to their families. It's really important, I think, that we continue again collectively internationally to work to try and ensure that the ceasefire is put back in place and that there's progress made here again, because the unfortunate reality of it is we've seen it go backwards again in the last
Lynn Boylan, very
time.
Briefly.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it is welcome that the Taoiseach condemned the Israeli strikes, but he didn't say that it was Israel that broke the ceasefire, which is the truth. Israel have breached the ceasefire. He also called for all sides to step back. This is Israel. Israel had never wanted to progress to phase 2 of the ceasefire. They are now just bombing basically tents. There's no buildings left in Gaza. And, the numbers that we have seen killed, 70% of women are women and children over the last 48 hours, is horrific and needs a much stronger reaction by the Irish government, both at an EU level and at a national level. And we heard from Francesca Albanese this week, the UN Special Rapporteur for Palestine. The Occupied Territories Bill needs to be enacted, and it needs to be enacted in full for trade in goods and services.
Padraig Tobin, very quickly,
so
your reaction.
This again shows you actually the dangers of outsourcing your policies to Europe, because Europe has been singularly useless in terms of putting pressure on Israel to desist from the massacre that's happening there. And it's interesting that actually Simon Harris said before the election that Ireland will not wait for the rest of the European Union before it actually puts in the Occupied Territories Bill. And that's exactly what's happening. They are delaying their actions because they want to stay in synchronicity with the EU.
Okay, I have to go to an ad break. And after the break, we'll be discussing the Netflix drama Adolescence, which has really gripped audiences across the country. And we'll be looking at how young men in Europe are being drawn towards violence and extremism. Back after these.
Saturday with Conor Mulligan on RTE Radio 1.